Hello and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Hello.
Hi.
This is going to seem like a simple question, but it's going to probe a deeper truth. When you think about the spiritual battle from a numbers viewpoint, there's 2/3 of the angels are good. There's God the Creator, stronger than Satan the created. Why is this battle still persisting? I mean, it's in essence, it's something that could end relatively quickly if God were to do so. In fact, I think in Revelation it will end quickly. So that's my question. Thanks.
I think as Pastor Steve was telling us, is that, you know, the devil and the world hates us. You know, I think they're beginning that. I was part of the world, and so I was fine. The devil didn't hate me. I had no attacks, just my own things that I got myself into trouble with. But as soon as I came to Christ, there was kind of like a honeymoon for a while, but then all of a sudden, the attacks come. And you know, the more you serve and the more you do, the more the warfare. And that's why the more to be in the Word and the more to be praying and the more fellowship. That's what I've experienced. You back off, you don't do much, it doesn't seem like the attacks are very strong. You start doing a few things and they come.
I think also that Romans 8:28 is an important verse. And, you know, I know that this is a very sincere question, Bob. But we have to really believe that if God really does work all things together for our good, that somehow, don't ever ask me to explain it because I couldn't, but somehow in the wisdom of God, He even works evil to our good. He can even work some of the most painful experiences of our lives to our good. And I can't imagine how He can do that. Someone once said it's like a tapestry, that you need all the colors, and those dark black threads actually cause the colors to stand out and bring depth to the tapestry. But it's the black ones, the dark ones, those ones that represent evil that has been done to us or that we've been had to go through all our lives, or we've experienced in our lives, that we go, God, how could you work that together for good? And we have to believe that He does. Yeah. Anyone else?
I mentioned on Sunday that Job went through some pretty horrific things in his life also. Why did God say, okay, good, go get Job. He's one of my good guys. Just don't kill him. But you can do whatever else you want. God, really? You're going to let that happen? And through all of what Job suffered, through all of his loss, he became more of a believer, more of a champion for God's cause, and God doubly blessed him at the end of all of this. Now, that doesn't mean God promises that blessing to you or to me, but as an example, there is something in it that will bless us. If we pursue this correctly, at the very least, which is probably the most important part of this, we are much closer in relationship with our God through this. We depend on Him more than we ever could just bumbling through life. And remember, Satan can't do a thing to us without God's permission. That's kind of weird. But the story of Job clearly paints that out to us, that Satan has to ask before anything can happen to us. And God does that for a purpose. He's not trying to squeeze the life out of us or to squish us like bugs. It feels like it sometimes, but that's not what He's doing. It's very uncomfortable, yes, but there is something in it for us. God has something there for us, and we need to pursue that.
In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, 8 and 9 tells about how Peter tells us to be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. And in 10, he says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So I really believe that that's what it's for, to perfect us, to establish us, to strengthen us, and to settle us. Because without adversity in our life, then we just plumb along and we're just nothing. But adversity strengthens us. It grows us up. And so God allows that for those battles for that purpose.
You're going to get yours in before its time's up, aren't you?
I do have a question. And you mentioned it in your message tonight. How do we determine if it's a spiritual battle or if it's just life that happens in general? And when do we ignore it and when do we treat it as a spiritual battle and fight that?
You know, I'm not sure if we do know. You know, Diane, for me, it seems the answer is the relationship that I have with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. To me, lately, it's all been about relationship. The stronger relationship I have, then those things, whether it's the world, my own shortcomings, or Satan's trying to do something against me, it's having God beside me, in me, and upon me, and coming to him and having that relationship where that's who I lean to. Because it could be my own something I've done. It could be something sin I've committed, but it could be an attack. It hurts. It's a problem. And so I cling closer to that relationship. So I'm going to the one that can get me through this situation, and then pray for that type of prayer. You know, tell me what it is, Lord. What's happening here? Is it something I did, or is there something going on here that I don't know? And reveal it to me. And then, you know, getting the word, all of a sudden it seems like there's an answer in the word, or prayer, or listening to K-Wave. I mean, you know, preachers preaching, obviously, wow, let me go to that. And then, you know, go from there.
I think also Steve said, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's really important to not be leaning on your own understanding. Like, don't try and really evaluate, well, is this just life or a random act or weird thing. God wants to be involved in all aspects. And Tom mentioned Job. I mean, Job didn't really understand where everything was coming from, but he kept pressing into God and just really looking to him to show him how to respond. So I think that's the best way.
Whether it's a spiritual attack or the world, things happen. God is ultimately in charge of all of these things, and he has power over the enemy much more than we do. He's given us his power to execute these things, but sometimes we don't know how to direct that. We're confused. We may be overwhelmed. We bring all of these things to him in prayer, regardless of what the source is. So Randy's here. You know, what situation did Raya find herself in when she was born? Was that a spiritual attack? I don't think so. But we all came together in prayer continually, and God healed Raya against phenomenal odds. God is over all of these things, and he listens to us. He will hear our prayers. In faith, we believe God will do it. And that's financial situations, that's jobs, that's physical, spiritual attacks. Doesn't matter. God's in control. And we can bring these things to him, and he will deal with them. So our promise, our faith, we stand strongly in the scriptures that he gives us as promises that I got this. Just bring it to me. I got this. There's lots and lots and lots of them.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
I like that question. I just want to piggyback on it, maybe bring it a little step further, as opposed to just spiritual warfare or life happening, but the one we all deal with, not just with ourselves, but we see it in our family and friends, which is just a consequence of bad choices. And to blame that, which I've seen and have probably done, on an attack from Satan, missing the opportunity to learn from that, how do you, those that have counseled people that you know that's what's going on, how do you deal with that? How do you point that out? I know it starts with humility, but where do you go from there? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Jumping in front of a moving car is a bad decision, not spiritual warfare. You know, simple example, but you know what I mean.
Exactly. But this is a great question, and Diane, you brought it up. You know, we don't always know when things are spiritual or not. There's a lot of things that we think are just natural thoughts that, oh, wonder where that thought came from or that temptation, and all of a sudden, boom, it goes here. So we can't really analyze and know that, like Tom said. We really, and even Lori did, and all three of you did. Now I think about Richard said that at the beginning. We don't really know everything that's spiritual attack or a natural attack. But some things, like Randy said, some things we have to own. We have to just flat own. Because we can go back and we can look at them. And if we go back, we can look and we can say, look, I see where I made that mistake right here. And it could be that you made a mistake based upon listening to some bad counsel, or maybe you were jumping out in the lust of your flesh. I mean, I've counseled a lot of people that they got themselves into a car payment or way over their head in debt, and it is nothing spiritual at all. It had to do with the lust of our flesh, isn't it, if we'd be honest? And, you know, Randy, you just have to speak the truth in love. And there's sometimes when I have to just let it go and allow God to teach them that, because I'm not going to be able to show them. They are so convinced that this is the devil. And there's times when I can bring them a little closer to accepting some responsibility. And I think that's important, that we realize it's not all, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it, you know? It's not all the devil. There was some sort of a comic routine that was done. The devil was sitting down crying. Somebody came up and said, what's wrong with you? He said, they're blaming me for everything. Some of the things we have to take the blame for too, amen? So it's a tough one. It is tough. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Are we allowed to make a comment on something that was said instead
We'd
of
rather you didn't?
Okay.
Because I want to just commend you for asking that question. I was actually going to approach that tonight if the same person was here last week that had about a dozen comments to be made on different things that people said. The problem is you got a comment, you got a comment, you got a comment. We'd be all here all night just listening to comments. Really, what I want is questions, because quite honestly, we all have comments to make. But I want.
Well, can I pose it as a question then?
I want to answer sincere.
Can I pose my comment as a question?
Is it a sincere question?
It's a sincere question.
Good.
Okay.
That's
the question is.
Answer questions.
If we're at a place where we feel like there is a spiritual battle going on, okay, and we're just not sure. And we basically are hearing, you know, like, you know, resist the devil, like you said, you know, ignore him, okay? But if we're at a place where we're not in that place, our identity in Christ, we're new Christians, maybe 2, 3, 4 years old. We're still kind of babes, okay? And we are truly in what I felt from our life, my wife and I's life, in a spiritual battle. I know that I went to the place of can't believe this is happening. This can't be happening. You know, if I just go to bed tonight, wake up tomorrow morning, everything's going to be better. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, the question is basically, can we just stay? Yeah, we can ignore what's going on here, or do we truly need to take a proactive, action and do something about it. I mean, to me, in our situation, coming from ritual abuse, we had to take a proactive action. And we went through multiple counselors until we found one that could truly deal with our issue. So I just kind of felt that, you know, that question has to be posed in a way like, you know, we have to be aware. And, you know, can we just move on with something that's that extreme and not?
Well, I think your question is, Pastor Steve, do we just ignore all the spiritual battle that's going on around us?
No, we can't.
And I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, that is one weapon against the enemy. And there are times when you need to ignore him. But taking a sword out and going after the enemy, using the name of Jesus, those are all offensive. But there are times when there are defensive or passive weapons, and ignoring him can be one of them. But certainly not, that's not always, and that's not even most of the time. It's just a weapon.
Okay.
It's just one of the times. But there are times when you have to just flat ignore the enemy. But there's times when you have to do battle that is bringing great drops of sweat, of blood from your soul because you are battling the devil. And that's very offensive, and that's not ignoring him at all.
Just one weapon I love that you brought up, and I don't know if I really realized it, but I guess I have, is when we come here and praise and worship. I mean, sometimes the spiritual attacks, the warfare is long. It's not short. You know, we get impatient and we want a quick fix. But it goes for a long, long time. And having fellowship and having the time so we can come here and praise and worship, we're like our spirits lifted. We're in a place of fellowship. The problems seem to go away. And that's why we should meet and gather together and hear the word and have time in praise and worship. And then we start all over and we try to keep in the word and keep in praise and worship throughout the week. Because, you know, I know, isn't it the sense that we want a quick fix, like, fix me now? But sometimes it just doesn't happen. So we just do the things one step forward, and we keep in the word, as we said, and we look at these weapons. Praise is great. Praise is just an amazing thing. I feel there's healing when we come and have praise. Yeah.
I wanted to make a comment on what you said, Danny, when you said resist the devil. We forget the beginning of that verse. It says submit to God. So to ignore him and to resist him, we have to be submitted, totally submitted to God. And we always forget that. All I ever hear is resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if you're not submitted to God, he's not going to go anywhere. He's going to keep harassing you and harassing you, no matter how much you tell him to get out of here. You have to be submitted to him.
That's a good one. I promise. This is something I've struggled with, I don't know, for probably about the last 10 to 12 years of my Christian life, and that is the discernment between how to handle the spiritual attacks. I'm of the mindset that everything that happens is a spiritual attack because the enemy will find anything in any way to try to attack me. So my question is, the discernment of knowing when to be passive and or stand my ground and, you know, stand up and say something. Because my general approach is to, you know, take the position of the servant of Christ, and, you know, when they were accusing him, he said nothing. And I just sit there and I pray and I says, God, this is in your hands. This is so far above what I could ever possibly accomplish. I give it to you. And at the same time, I sit there and I think about the other part of Christ's life where he was standing up to the Pharisees all the time and rebuking them and saying, no, this is not right. And so I guess my question would be is, how do we know that discernment of when to just completely give it to God, not even try, at least in our own efforts, versus under the strength of God standing up and saying and doing something about it?
You're really going back to Diane's question, which was a very good question. And I think it's one that we all deal with really at the core of our being is this a spiritual attack? And if so, how do I address it? If it's not, how do I address it as not a spiritual attack? I mean, that's heart and soul to where the rubber meets the road in our lives. Amen? I would say that every single event, even if it's a natural event, has the potential of a very demonic spiritual attack. Okay, remember I started out my little talk about We battle in three different spheres: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And water, I mean fire. Fire needs three elements to keep it burning. What? A fuel, heat, and what? Oxygen. So it's the same thing. When you've got the world, which is just natural stuff around the world, catastrophes happen, accidents happen, you're going to get in a car accident. Somebody's going to rear-end you. That's not a spiritual attack. But then you have the flesh where you're going to get angry at that person, okay? And then you have the third element that just fuels the flame and the enemy coming and just trying to really make it a mess, where you could have actually had that incident happen where God wanted to say, have you get to know this person, and you could have led this person to Christ. Instead, you handle it wrongly because the enemy knows that this person is right there, ripe for salvation, and he's going to do everything he can to blow your witness, okay? We don't know. Quite frankly, we don't know all these things because they're invisible to us. And that's why we need to, like Lori said, trust the Lord with all our heart. We need to put on the armor of God. We need to be wise. We need to be praying without ceasing. We just don't know. But I would say, brother, to kind of sum up your question is, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. There isn't a formula. We have to have the Lord open our eyes to see, like Elijah prayed, oh, Lord, at Dotham, remember? He said, Lord, to his servant, he said, open my servant's eyes that he could see what I see. And we just need God to open our eyes to see him. I wish I could tell you, this is spiritual attack, this is just a natural, this is dire desire of your own flesh, or this is something you got yourself into, the enemy had nothing to do with this. But he will want to use it to destroy you, even though we get into it in a natural means. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Exactly. Rich, like I said, all of them had real good answers. But it's kind of heart and soul to what I'm hearing about a lot of these questions, and I think it's right where we live. Amen? Anybody else before we wrap it up? Okay, let's talk about next week. Some people are thinking that this series is about the Holy Spirit because the first one was on the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's just Christian essentials. Next week, we're going to talk about how much should I give? Stewardship. Okay, how much should I give? And I would ask that you pray for me, because whenever a pastor talks about money, that's a spiritual battle. And here's my heart, and I'll reiterate this on Wednesday, but if you would be in prayer for me, and I've been praying, is my heart is, what I wonder I want to see God do is ignite in us a joy, a new joy for some of us, and a rekindled joy of and fan the flames of joy in giving. Because in a lot of our lives, giving has become either rote or monotony, or giving has become something that the enemy is using to condemn us with, or something we've just kind of put off to the side and said doesn't really matter. But I am praying that we can find joy in giving. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, give me the words to be able to convey joy in giving, because that's the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It started with him as a giver, amen? And we just want to experience joy in our giving. And so that's, and in our stewardship of giving our lives to the Lord. But so often when we give, we feel like we're what? We're being diminished. And whenever we feel like we're being taken, there's no joy in that. But if we can believe that God is in this and that he would give us joy in the giving, that would be awesome. So I covet your prayers. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.